takes time to put people back on their feet, doesn't it?
Oh my goodness, yes. Oh, we're helping.
It's a wonderful picture of ministry. You can do it, buddy. How many of you have been upside down before? Needed some help to get right side up? That's a beautiful picture of literally salvation in Christ Jesus. It's a picture of discipleship because it was done for you. Go and help somebody else and just follow along with them. Make sure they don't turn over again. Are you there? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's do applause. Thank you, Lord. That's what we do. In Christ Jesus, we are empowered to do what we can't do in ourselves, and that is to help. How many of you truly, your life was upside down? And you needed somebody to come along and be there to flip you back over and walk alongside of you. This is really a wonderful picture. I've had that video for like a long time, and I could never figure out, what am I going to do? And I feel like this is the day. Because, look, there's a lot of folks in our city that are upside down and they need a lot of encouragement. They need to help be flipped back over. Is that true? And there's no fill in the blanks today, but I want to talk about, and this won't take long, but I want to talk about this is the theme. What can I do to honor the Lord? It was on June the 30th. And I was had finished my Bible reading time as I was reading. And now, you know, usually I sit and I look for what would, you know, kind of quicken me and meditate on that and then write it down. And then it turns into a time of prayer. The Word of God energizes a kind of a relational time with the Lord. And sometimes they're very powerful times. Other times it's just like you're eating breakfast, you know, it's nothing like no special waffle or anything, just kind of, you know, going along. And this morning, that particular morning, I had read everything and I was just, you know, looking to think about which scripture I was going to begin writing down and meditating on. And right like that, the Lord, up from within in my spirit, made this statement come up out of my spirit, man, and it was real strong, and it was, what can I do to honor the Lord? And it caught me by surprise. And suddenly, and I was, you know, I had this little thought about, yeah, in my life, and the Lord basically suddenly focused me on the sanctuary. He put me on the sanctuary. He had my mind on that sanctuary in there. What can I do to honor the Lord? And suddenly I was having this moment before the Lord. And what began to stir up in my heart was King David. And instead of meditating on the scriptures that I had in front of me, I felt drawn to go to another scripture. And would you put up the slide? And the Lord's quickened me to go to King David. It says, it's in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 2. And this is when David, now you know the story of David, many of you. David messed up later in life, and he had sinned with a woman named Bathsheba. And God would forgive him of the adultery, but he also had the husband killed, Uriah. He had the husband killed to cover up his sin. So the Lord basically told him, I'm not going to allow you to build the temple because of that. He was disqualified because he had blood on his hands in that regard. He says, but you can raise the money for it and you can have somebody else do it. And the Lord led him to have Solomon do it. And so he said, he stood up and he said, hear me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart. And the Lord was highlighting this to me. It was like, it's an interesting thing when the Lord speaks to you from the Word of God. He'll take a certain, he'll whisper some of it into your heart. And suddenly I was in a very holy place. And the Lord was saying, this is the same spirit that was in David, and I'm putting it in you. Because this was not your idea. It was never my idea to come down here. It was God's.
He said different things. One of them was, through two or three different sources, is there are people that if you stay where you are, there are certain people that will not go to heaven. And if you'll come down here, they will actually go to heaven. Will you obey me and come down here? How are you going to tell the Lord? Nah, that's okay. People going to hell is no concern of mine. No, it is. Because we're in the ministry and the Lord says, if you will change locations, I'm going to do things and cause things to happen. So I felt in this place and he was saying this, it was, I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and I made preparations for the building. I had it in my heart to build a resting place for the Ark, and the Ark is the symbol of the presence of God. I had it in my heart to prepare a place for God's presence to inhabit. And the Lord was saying, he's already told me this. He said, your role is to maintain my presence with the people, maintain my presence in the house, and allow me to do the work in the lives of people. And so I can't back off of that. How many of you have experienced God's presence when you come here? How many just for a few moments over there? It's amazing. Do you realize that there's over 100 years of prayer in that, at that altar? It's like you just pray a little bit and it just kind of wafts up and takes off, right? We're just like a great company of saints are hanging out with us. It's incredible. So he says this to David and he says, I'm going to prepare. And then it comes, the Lord focused my heart on this other verse, the next verse. And it's 1 Chronicles 28:20. And this is when he's speaking directly to Solomon. And he says this, and I felt the Lord putting this in my heart. Be strong. Tell the person there, be strong and of good courage. By the way, these words are were spoken from Moses to Joshua. They're spoken from David. Every time somebody's going to, it's kind of like this. Ready? This is what he's saying. Buckle up. You're going to take a ride. It's not going to be easy on you. So we're going to go ahead and tell you up front. Be strong and of good courage. Because there's going to come things that want to discourage you. How many of you found that out? When the Lord says, be strong, you go, oh, I will probably have moments where I feel extremely weak. Be of good courage. There'll probably be moments where I feel like giving up and leaving. Is that right? And I love this next phrase. It says, be strong and of good courage and do it. And do it. And do it. And do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Those are the other words that you see a lot in the Bible. Do not fear or be dismayed. For the Lord God, my God, will be with you. I think there's another verse to that. He will not leave you nor forsake you. How many of you heard that before? Until you have finished all the work of the service, the house of the Lord. And so this is what happened that day. I was so impacted that the Lord was just saying, in my spirit, what can I do to honor the Lord? And then he pulled me to these passages, and he tied me to this our moment in history here. He's focusing me on the sanctuary, and I'm feeling like, oh my gosh. See, when your salvation was initiated by God. Your healing is initiated by God. Your deliverance is initiated by God. Your direction in life is initiated. If you want Him, if you want to quit doing the thing you tried to do to make it, some of us are still stuck on trying to work it out on our own. I know. Bless your hearts. It's not going to work out for you. But when you surrender to the Lord God, I was talking to a brother this morning. I said, it's an amazing thing. When you do everything that you do as unto the Lord, when you do it as unto the Lord, not to men, but when you do it for men, but as unto the Lord, He's in charge of the promotion of your life. He sees the attitude and opens up doors because that's the heart that He can lead and send places and do things with, right? Because it's a heart that's submitted and surrendered and wants God to receive glory from your life. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. This whole precedent to this is found even before this. Let's go to the next slide. Next slide, Moses sets the precedent for the contributions in Exodus 35. Way back before the temple was ever on God's heart, there was a tabernacle, and Moses built the tabernacle. And way back, God instructed Moses and said, Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, this is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, bronze, it goes on. And there's many things listed there. And so this is the concept that to build the house of the Lord, he says, I want you to come, and if you have those with a generous heart, come. And then this is what happened. Exodus 36, 3 through 5. And they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work on the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him freewill offerings every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing, and said to Moses, the people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do. There was so much abundance. The next verse after that says, so they said, please don't bring any more. I want to paint that vision for us today. Now, here's just a few things that the Lord has said to us in partnering with God. Number one, God has directed us to restore and inhabit a building that He has used for His glory over the past generations to be a blessing to the city. Everybody say amen? I'm going to do five things. Let's all say amen. Number two, He has sought a people that will put Him first, love Him with all that they are, and seek Him on behalf of His desires to bless others. Amen. Tell you what, why don't you read that one with me? He has sought a people that will put Him first, love Him all that they are, and seek Him on behalf of His desires to bless others. Amen. Number three, God has set Himself, this one has two slides, God has set Himself to release His presence into our midst and into our town to bring about the work of His Spirit to bless and restore those who live here. He wants people to know that He is for them and not against them. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Number four, He has need of a place where His glorious presence is hosted to bring forth His anointing to bless, save, heal, restore, and deliver. Listen, there's a lot of brokenness in our culture. And one of the things the Lord keeps saying, my daughter has a perceiving gift, and we were in prayer about this one day, and suddenly she said, Dad, I see that the Lord is going to double the mantle of deliverance. How many people are in bondage to all kinds of things? And to come into the presence of God and have the chains broken and the prayer, hey man, I don't have that same thing anymore. I feel free. That's where we're headed with. This is what it's all about, guys. It's about the kingdom of God being advanced in the hearts of people. And there be a stabilizing effect of God's kingdom work in everybody's heart. And that you know your love deeper than you've ever could imagine. That's one of the big things that heals. People don't realize it. Number five, the gatherings is a historic place of God's presence. It is an ancient well that God has instructed us to redig. Amen? Now, there's many other, these are just a few little bullet points. There's many other practical ways that we want to do things. Thus far, our history as when we were down the road, we were very discipleship-based. And we saw and instructed people in ways that they could apply the Word of God and live in freedom and do ongoing growth and acceleration of growth. And we haven't done any of that here. But we have the capacity to do that. But we have not done any of that. And the Lord is, there's all kinds of things that we want to host to bring people into wholeness in Christ Jesus, to shake loose the works of darkness off their life, to bring healing to the abuse and brokenness. How many people do I know today that grew up in foster families and need the deep work of Father God's love to secure and do things in their hearts? How many are that need all that He wants to do there, right? God is after this. I just feel like rejoicing. This has been a rough week on me, just getting ready for this. So I'm just going to praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, because He loves people. He loves people. Nobody's outside of His ability to touch their life. Hallelujah. And there are other ways to touch the city that I'm not going to enumerate them all, but I believe that there are all kinds of things. When we shift over there, we will be able to use this room more freely to do the things that we want to do as well. So there are things that we have done to draw people here, but there will also be things we do to do outreach to touch. Amen? So it's both. Okay. Now, there's a Romans chapter, the next verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 2. This is I received this word when I went to a conference, I guess it was last year. Yeah, it was. And a brother from the Lord came up to me and he said, the Lord gave this to me, and it's out of the New Living Translation, and this is a word for us. It's because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Isn't that a great word? And let's look at the next one. Haggai 2:9. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. I want you to know, when he says Lord of hosts, he's talking about being the commander of an army in the angelic realm, and the one who anoints his church to pray on target to see his things accomplished. Now, I want to share just a little bit about a word about the gospel, and then I go into this other section here. There's a commitment that I have made to understand more fully and communicate the essence of the gospel, because it's not being communicated. There's all kinds of people doing all kinds of things. When you get off of track, now in essence, the gospel is a proclamation of what Jesus has done for you. How many of you for a long time you thought you had to do something to be pleasing to God? That's not the gospel. The gospel is not about you earning merit because you're a good boy or a good girl. It has nothing to do with the gospel. That's religion, and it'll kill you. And ultimately, that will turn you into a little religious hellion that judges everybody else because you never live up to what you think you're supposed to be doing anyway. Now, the gospel has this divine tension in it. You're more sinful and flawed than you could have ever believed. Your encounter with Jesus reveals that you just don't have it together more and more. The further you go with the Lord, the more you realize, I don't have it together. You're finite. You're fragile. You're broken in places you didn't even realize you're broken. And that's one side of the gospel, and at the exact same time, this is the other side. You're adopted. You're more loved and accepted than you could ever hope for. At the same time. At the same time. You're completely messed up, and you're completely loved. And that's how we enter, and that's the essence of the gospel of Jesus. And nobody comes in on merit. Nobody comes in on the basis of a checkbook or how good they look or how smart they are or how witty or how much influence they can parlay in friendships. None of that. The only way you enter is you say, this is my sin. And God says, here's my righteousness. Yes. Yes. It's a deal. I take what's wrong with you and I give you what's right with me. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's an inside job. It's never outside in, it's inside out. It's always, I'm going to do it in here. And you're going to live different. And now you're better, not because you're trying to be accepted, but you're better because you are accepted. Yeah. And you do things on the basis of His love for you. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And nobody else offers that anywhere. It's only one-stop shopping. Jesus. It doesn't come from any other philosophy, any other religion. Nobody does that but Jesus Christ alone. And He alone has died for us and taken all of our mess and turned it into what? His righteousness. And we tend to end up being like the little turtle on the video. Hey, are you turned upside down? Guess what? Jesus turned me back right side up. And I will help you. Now, man, I just wanted to get that off my chest. Because that's why we're here. And there's an incredible... The gospel is attractive. Here's the reason. Here's one reason. It's this electrifying balance between moral conviction and compassion. Not judgment. That you and I live unto the Lord because He fine-tunes us. He's like, I was talking to a young man not too long ago. He says, you know, a year ago I'd have walked into Walmart and just bought a bunch of fishing leers and put them in my pocket and slid out, and I wouldn't have paid for them. But since I've been around you guys and came to know Jesus, I went back in the back, I got the fishing leers, and I walked right up there and I paid for them. And you can move from being a menace to society to being a contributor to society because Jesus Christ does it from the inside out. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So now, on the basis of that, I want us to look at James chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. This is a very interesting verse. Because this is a talk, now watch this. Everybody say, in Christ Jesus. This is very important, in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're like the turtle that's been upside down, if you have very little means, if you feel like things have been rough in your life and you're not where you want to be, the Bible says this to you. It says, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. Why is that? It's because Jesus, see, both the lowly brother and the rich enter the same way. We give the Lord our sins, and He gives us His righteousness. So let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. Let him boast that on the scale of kingdom enterprise, we're equal. No one looks down on me because I don't have a lot. Phenomenal. Jesus Christ is phenomenal. Just let that get inside of your heart. Then it says, and the rich in his humiliation. And then he begins to explain it. Because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. The sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower fades and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Wow. Wow. Wow, isn't that an interesting verse? You don't usually preach on that in church. But here's the point. In Christ Jesus, do you realize in eternity our money means nothing? We're going to be walking on streets of gold? The concept of our money as a currency is to be let it flow and help people, right? And do things with it. I ask today that a spirit of faith would rise in us. As Heather and I have gotten toward, the closer we've gotten toward the completion of this, it's as if the adversary has sent more demons, more works of darkness to come against us. I'm being honest with you. Some days I wonder, am I spiritually oppressed or just physically challenged? What's going on in my body? What's going on? To discern it, sometimes I'm going, why I feel like I'm walking in mud in every way. What is happening? Because we're not far. We're not far away from a release of all the things that God has, and I'm not backing off. Yes. And you don't back off, and we won't back off. I'm telling you, I was telling the council one time, and every now and again, if I repeat all the things that the devil says, you go, boy, you're really into it. It can be real discouraging when on your brain. You know what I mean? How many of you have been in spiritual battles and you just like feel like you just... And guess what? It never ceases to amaze me. We gather in His presence and God comes, and where hell has put up a standard, God comes, and He comes and says, I'm going to take care of all that. Amen? Spirit of faith arise. So, I want to tell you one other quick thing. This is another scripture and then we'll close. Jesus looked and saw this, the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. This is a real unnerving scripture because Jesus Christ is standing there watching people giving. He's just watching people giving. That's what this scripture's about. He watches people giving. He's just sitting there watching them, putting the money in the box. You've got to just say, come over here, guys. Watch this. Let's look at this. Check this out. How many of you know tithing is not an option? Now, some of you may not know that, but the Bible never teaches you to give the tithe, ever. It says bring it. You give what's yours. You bring what's His. Now, this is a basic thing, and many, many people are so afraid because they don't have that they fight. Then they keep that 10%, and it releases an impoverishing spirit upon somebody. When you keep that little money, that little 10%, the work of darkness comes in and consumes everything else. Malachi, this is not a tithing passage today, but Malachi 3, 10, 11, 12 covers all that. So if you haven't been told that, instructed in that, you need to hear that. There's three kinds of giving in the Bible. There's a tithe. Are you ready for the next two? There's little offerings, and there's big offerings. That's what they are. There's three types. Now, Jesus is looking at them giving their gifts into the offering box, and He saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. This is called the widow's mite. So she puts in her coins. And Jesus is perceiving, and He's watching. And He says, truly, I tell you, He gets the guys over there, come here, guys. Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. That is a phenomenal thing. And so anyway, this is what I want to do. Today, and don't feel hijacked, don't feel scared, don't feel threatened, don't feel abused, don't feel anything but invited to consider this. We're going to hand out little pieces of paper today, and they're a little pledge to pledge for helping us get the rest of the finances for our moving into the next side. So when it comes to this, what can I do to honor the Lord? I feel like the Lord says, I'll take it from here. So, Lord, we praise You. We praise You for speaking to the hearts of to all of us. We thank You, Lord, for breathing Lord, You created math. You know how to talk to people about numbers. And so we just submit this to You. I ask God, bind the spirit of fear, any kind of apprehension or any kind of a judgment about maybe having or not having. We submit all that. And we just ask, Lord, that You would release, so that by September 25th, everything that we have need of. You want to share something? Oh, okay.
Is it okay? Yeah, you're here. I just wanted to say something when Pastor Roger shared the scripture about the widow's mite.
The widow's mite?
Yeah, the reason that she gave more than everybody else wasn't just the percentage, but it's because it was obvious from what she did that she had sold out. She had sold out. She had two coins left. That's all she had. It says that she had this. So what she was really saying is, you know, I really believe that God's my reward. He's the rewarder of those who seek Him. That's why that was the most. It wasn't just the percentages. She had sold out.
She was sold out. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Connor. This is a kingdom endeavor. God's looking. Do you realize? I don't know how he does it, but God says, you remember, you'll show up in heaven. He says, remember when you gave to that? Yeah. Do you see all those souls? They go to your account. There are people that'll come in to know Jesus Christ because of your giving. It's this amazing thing. There is a, I went through the warfare all this week because there's a release of his spirit of faith in the room. And so as we give this, and I just want to, let's just go ahead and praise him. Let me finish and put a seal on this. Father God, we thank you for working in our hearts. And even those that are not here, we thank you that you'll speak. And the way, because we're doing this all in unity for the glory of your name. Thank you, Lord. When you pledge this amount, I want to invite you to give your finances an assignment. If there is a need that you have had, or someone that you want saved, or a healing, or some kind of a thing, I want you to say, I'm trusting in you to meet this need in my life, and attach that to the pledge, okay? That's a whole nother thing, but I felt that this morning. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, I praise you for this family. Whether by little, whether by much, we just thank you for breathing and speaking to us and helping us. And we just do this unto you for your glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.